Heavenly Father, we praise you this morning. We thank you. We have great reason to rejoice and be thankful. For Lord, you have done so much for us beyond our imagination, dear Lord. And we thank you. And we just look to you that your presence will be here in a special way, that the anointing of your Holy Spirit will minister to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We have certainly had a wonderful time up till now. I personally have appreciated the ministries that have been ministered to us, the messages that have been ministered to us. They have been so wonderful. We just thank God for His Holy Spirit that speaks to the hearts of His shepherds, those who minister, and guides them in what they will bring to you. I'm thankful. I often think of when my wife and I were prayed for, and that's got to be way back in the early 50s. And one brother who prayed or spoke to my wife, he says, "You'll pray for your husband." And so many times, and it's called upon me to minister somewhere, I know she is praying for me, and I know she is today as well. And we do need to pray one for another. We thank God for all the ministering brethren, our elders, local and those who minister worldwide. We're all members of the body of Christ. We all need to function as He wants us to function, because He wants us to fulfill our ministry wherever we are. And we thank the Lord for His people who are ministering in their own capacity. And I'd just like to turn briefly to Romans chapter 8. I might mention that the things that have been upon my heart today relate to our unity, the unity of the church, and also part of being of the forgiveness like the Lord has for us, and that we need to have one for another. And these are all important things relating to the kingdom of God. But in Romans chapter 8, chapter 12, beginning at verse 3, Romans chapter 12, says, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another." Praise the Lord. That makes us very close to one another, doesn't it? We're members one of another. "Having gifts then differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. So there we see several ministries in the body are mentioned here. And they're all important, and the Lord wants us to minister that which he has given to us. And we thank God for the ministry of the presbytery, where we have been prayed over, and God has made known to us our gifts and our ministries. And he wants us to war a good warfare according to the prophecies that have gone over us. Now I'd like to turn to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 16. First Chronicles, chapter 16, and reading from the first verse, part of that verse, says, "So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it." Now the ark of God had the Ten Commandments inside of it. It was a very precious box that they had in the days of Israel in the Old Testament. And that was a very special time to have the Ark of God in their midst. It had been in the hands of the enemy. And the Philistines had taken the Ark of God and put it right where their gods were, Dagon or whatever their gods were. And you know, when that happened, over the night, their gods fell to the ground. So they put their god up again, and the next night, thing fell and broke to pieces. But we have the Ark of God that has come to us. God has revealed the truths of the kingdom, the wonderful truths to us. And this is a glorious day that we live in. And when that happened, the children of Israel rejoiced. And if you go to verse 7 of that chapter, 16th chapter of 1 Corinthians, it says, "Then on that day David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth." You know, you and I can do that today too. We can rejoice in what God has done. I often think, you know, how God has given us a foundation to stand on. The scripture says that other foundation can no man lay but Jesus Christ. But he also says we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. So is there two foundations? No, it's Christ in the brethren, Christ in the apostles and prophets. Praise the Lord. And that's the foundation we stand on. We don't stand on some name, some denomination, something that we've conjured up that wants to identify us. We are members of the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. Members one of another. Recipients of the kingdom of God, part of the kingdom of God. And we thank God. Further on in that chapter, it says, "Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Show forth from day to day his salvation. Declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among all nations." For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He also is to be feared above all gods. So God has done wondrous things for us, whereof we are glad. And many things have happened since God moved by his Spirit in 1948, and we're still benefiting by the things that God made known in those days. And if you turn with me to the book of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians is a wonderful book. And it's, you know, it's so important that we really be well acquainted with the Word of God. It's always good to see the young children get up and say their verses on Sunday morning. It's good for all of us that we spend much time in the Word of God, that we become very acquainted with the Word of God. And turning to the fourth chapter of Ephesians, I'd just like to read, beginning at the first verse. It says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love." You know, this is a humble walk that God has called you and I to. We're not out to promote ourselves. We're out to promote the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me. And the best thing you can do is tell people that Jesus died for them on the cross. I'm sure we all know John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And so that's our desire, to let people know about the Christ. He says, "If I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me." I have the privilege of ministering to quite a few seniors. Some of the brethren that are here go with me, and we go to nursing homes, and we're able to sing to the people. We share some of the wonderful old gospel songs and try to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. And you can tell as you're ministering to people, many times many of them know the Lord. They'll know the songs that you're singing. But whether they do or don't, we want them to hear the message that God loves them, that Jesus paid the price for them on the cross of Calvary. And I thank God that's an open door that God has made for us. And many of you do the same kinds of things. You minister to people and let them know of God's love. And there's just so many people today that need to hear about him, that need to know of his love. Praise God. Some people, many people, their ears seem to be deaf to these things. But, you know, they are not deaf to your love. When you tell somebody, you know, "I was concerned that you were ill, we prayed for you." Just recently, one of my son Murray's men had a heart attack, and he had to go into the hospital in Saskatoon. And when we brethren were up in the room, in the office, we held hands and we prayed for him. And shortly after, we thank God for the doctors and the nurses and for the things that they do. And they put some stents in his veins, and very shortly after, he phones my son and talked to him. And we just praise the Lord for that, that he's a valuable man to Murray and his business. But more than that, he's valuable to the Lord, and God loves him. And I hope I'll have the opportunity to tell them, you know, we prayed for you and we're glad to see you back on the job again. And I'm not sure, I'm sure he's not there yet, but he could be very soon. But God is calling you and I to minister in the capacity that we can. And you know, even children going to school, you can minister where you are. You can show respect for your teacher. You can show love and kindness to one another. You can be good to your classmates. And we see that happening. It says, talk about his wonderful works. Well, you know, I'm going to just tell you a little story. We have a local church in the Park Valley area, and many of you know where that is, and you know many who are in that local assembly. And the children from those homes were taught to be respectful. They were taught to be kind, and the teachers and the people in the community where they went to school really appreciated these children. And it's been a testimony for the Park Valley Local Church. One time, some of these people from the community, it's a Debden community, it's a mainly Catholic community. One time, some of the people from that community came to the Christmas program out at the Park Valley Local Church. And I remember was the one man that helped do the electrical work for the church building. He and his wife came that Christmas program. And after the program was over, his wife got up to the front and she just complimented the children on the wonderful job they did. And then we know it was the ladies that were leading them. And I could mention some of their names too. That they did such a nice job. But I thought, isn't it wonderful that Catholic lady would come up and do that? Well, it so happens that that couple were moving away to Lloydminster, and they had a farewell for them. And so my wife and I felt we wanted to go to that farewell. And lo and behold, here a choir from the Catholic Church got up and sang, "Bind us together, Lord, bind us together. There's only one God, only one King." You know, praise God. God is moving in the hearts of people everywhere. We don't have to create a division between anybody and us. We want to love everybody as God loves them. Praise the Lord. And I was so pleased to see how God is moving everywhere. Scripture says, in the last days he will pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And so God is moving many places. And it so happens that it was a sister and her husband to that couple are in a nursing home at Shelbrook. And I've had the privilege of going there and singing with them. I have my accordion and you know, they just sing right along. They're just so happy to have you and sing along. So when our dear brother Ragnar Arstead's funeral came about, the one couple there, they phoned me, said, would you have room to take us to his funeral? So we said, sure, we'd be happy to take you to the funeral. So we picked them up in time to go to Ragnar's funeral. And, you know, that was a wonderful, you know, it's hard to say that funerals are wonderful, but sometimes they are. Because, you know, when you know a brother's gone to be with the Lord, he's been set free from the flesh and the trials of the flesh. Our brother Ragnar was just a precious deacon in the local church at Park Valley. Faithful, always. He and his wife, they had young people's gatherings for 36 years on their farm. And they just loved the young people. They loved to have them come there, and they had everything fixed up so nicely, along with the help of the rest of the church people. And so this couple that were in the care home at Shelbrook came to that funeral, and they were glad to see some of the folks in the church there. And so when the time came to take them back home, when they got out of our car, he said to me, "We want to join your church." Well, I'm sure they don't understand the fullness of what it means to join the church. But I'm sure God will permit us to spend time with them and fellowship with them. And we don't say, "Well, you got to come with me," or "You got to be like us." That's not what it's all about. It's a matter of loving them, sharing the goodness of God with these people. So it's wonderful. And you know, a lot of that is because our children were respectful when they went to the schools in Debden. Praise the Lord. So we can rejoice in what God is doing today. He's doing a mighty work, and your ministry is important. Yours is just as important as anyone else, as my ministry or anyone else. It's very important. Praise God. We have an open door before us, an open door of ministry. It says God has set before you an open door. It also says there are many adversaries, and that's true. But you know, we have the one that dwells in you and I is greater than he that is in the world. Praise God. And so we do need to minister that which God has given us. So I should read on here in the fourth chapter of Ephesians. And it says, I don't know if I read the third verse. Third verse is, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Praise the Lord. And that's a big statement too. The unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And God is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are one. And Jesus prayed that we would be one with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I should just turn to that in John 17 before I go on. John 17 and verse 21. It says, Jesus prayed this, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You know, can you imagine what a tremendous thing is for you and I to be one with the Father and the Son? Oh, praise God. And verse 23 says, "I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me." To be made perfect in one. Praise God. It's a glorious walk that God has called us to. So, you know, time goes so fast. It says there is one body in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Then going to the 11th verse, and these are some of the gifts that he gave. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Oh, I thank God. You know, we thank God for the apostles that are mentioned in the scriptures. Apostle Paul, Peter, James, John, and numerous others. And we thank God for those that he's called today that have the ministry that Christ is dwelling within them, and they minister by the Spirit of God. We thank God for the this is a theocracy that God has called us to, where Christ is the head. You know, I guess we can be thankful in Canada that we have a democracy, but that's far from what we want. God has far more than that waiting in his kingdom. And he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, I am so thankful. We spent several days, the brethren, together before the meetings, and there's so much business to look after, and the field is so broad. But it is so wonderful to see brethren dwell together in unity. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It just pretty near makes me weep to think how wonderful that is. You know, I just can hardly stand on the TV channel. You can turn it to the government in Ottawa, and you know I can't stand to watch it for very long. All the bickering, and instead of there being unity, there's enmity. But I praise God. You know, we can thank God for that Ark of the Covenant that's into our midst today. The presence of the Lord and the things that he has taught us. We just praise him with all of our hearts. So, then it tells that the reasons why he sent those gifts. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You know, it's the unity of the Spirit is a wonderful thing, and it's such a joy to gather together with the brethren and to share the wisdom that God gives to you. God never designed that anyone should have it all. We know who has it all. That's our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. But he has designed that we flow together and fit together. And it's just such a joy that I don't have to, I maybe have a suggestion, but that doesn't mean that it's 100% correct. But together we share the things that God gives to us, and we endeavor to come up with what he wants us to come up with. You know, the same thing applies in the local churches. We thank God for our elders and our deacons. We thank God for every member in the church. But we thank God for the shepherds that God has given to the church. Shepherds that love the sheep of his pasture. They will do anything to help the sheep. Anyone in the congregation is in trouble, they can call on the elders, and they will help them. Praise the Lord. And we've seen that happen so often in our lives, that God has taken care of his people because there are shepherds there to care for them. Praise the Lord. It's a glorious plan that God has revealed to us. So, the ministries, it says that they are, in verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. God wants us to grow up. You know, it was a sad thing in the time of Samuel when the people wanted to have a king. They wanted to be like the nations around them. Oh, they have a king. God had raised up a prophet, Samuel, who he'd reveal his mind to. And that was all they needed. All they needed was men that God had raised up by his Spirit. would reveal his will to them, and they were a guide to the people. But Samuel felt bad that they wanted a king. And the Lord said to Samuel, "They have not rejected you, they've rejected me." But dear people, God has turned that around now. God has given us apostles and prophets. He's given us a foundation to stand on. Praise his wonderful name. And may he help us to remain on that foundation steadfast. Praise God. May God help you and I that we will stand strong. Like it says in the book of Peter, that I guess I'll have to turn to it and read it to repeat what I want to repeat. In 1 Peter, is it in 2 Peter? Oh, yes, 2 Peter says, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." This is a high and a holy calling. And may we remain steadfast. It says in Corinthians, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." You know, may God help us to walk faithfully in the calling that he has given to us and to just keep pressing on. Praise the Lord. To be faithful. We're told to obey those that have the rule over us. And it's so good to have shepherds that care for you and love you and are walking in the right way and know the way to tell you to go. Praise God. I wanted to cover another area. I've been talking about the unity of the Spirit, and there's so much could be said. You know, the unity in our homes, the unity between my wife and I, the unity between families and so many things. It's wonderful. But there's another area that I'd like to talk a little bit about while I have time, and that is forgiveness. And I'd like to turn to Matthew, the 18th chapter. I'll turn to Matthew, the 6th chapter first, where Jesus spoke the Lord's Prayer. And Matthew chapter 6, if you have your Bibles and want to follow. And Jesus said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then he goes on to talk about forgiveness. And he says, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Forgiveness is an attribute of our Christ. When he was on the cross, he prayed, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And in Matthew chapter 18, we read more about forgiveness. Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22. And Peter was with Jesus and probably the other disciples too. It says, verse 21 in chapter 18, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. You know what? I'm sure we all have times in our life when we maybe need to ask somebody to forgive us. Or maybe somebody has to ask us to forgive them. I know this happens in my home. My wife and I, there's times when I have to say, I'm sorry that I didn't recognize you the way I should or whatever. And she'll ask me to forgive her for things too. And it's a wonderful thing to not be afraid to ask forgiveness. Sometimes our pride doesn't want us to do that. I'm okay. I do things okay, you know. But forgiveness is so important. And in Hebrews chapter 13, it says, let brotherly love continue. Hebrews 13 and 1. And I think that applies to sisterly love too, as well. In Mark chapter 11, 25, it says, when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, forgive, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive your trespasses. God doesn't want animosity or enmity between you and me or us and anyone else. That's not part of his kingdom. His kingdom is one of forgiveness. In Luke 17 and 4 it says, and if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 it says, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Tender-hearted. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness. I'm not saying the rest of them. The gentleness, gentleness and tenderness is Jesus was full of gentleness and tenderness. He could be strict too, and we know what he did when they were buying and selling in the temple, when he overthrew the tables of the money changers and chased them out with a whip. Our Lord could be pretty strict too, and sometimes we have to be strict to do what God wants us to do. Not to hurt somebody, but to help somebody. Praise the Lord. In Colossians 3 and 13, it says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. I can still remember Brother Whitter, father of these Whitters, our ministry who's gone to be with the Lord. He talked about the word forbearing. He says we shouldn't be the bear. We should forbear. Should be willing to forgive. If you have any man have a quarrel against any, as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You know, forgiveness should be in our heart. You know, sometimes somebody will do something unkindly to you, and they really should come and ask forgiveness. But are you going to wait till they come before you forgive them? There should be that forgiveness in your heart already. Praise the Lord. That we do not hold anything against people. God, the way God has forgiven you and I, that's the way we should forgive others. Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then I wrote down just what I said. Forgiveness should be in our heart even before we have been asked for forgiveness. James chapter 5 and 9. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. You know, our carnal nature wants to hold a grudge. You did that to me, and I'll remember that. That should not be. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and 8, it says, above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover a multitude of sins. Oh, praise God. Isn't that wonderful to be in a crowd like this where that spirit of forgiveness flows and love flows? We all know the story of Joseph and how his brothers treated him so badly. He had done nothing wrong. He just did what his father told him to do, go and give something to your brothers who are probably out looking after the livestock or whatever. And they saw him coming, and they were jealous. You know, it's quite a thing when God reveals something to you, and God revealed to Joseph that one day 11 sheaves would bow down to his sheaf. In other words, his 11 brothers would bow down to him. He says, the sun and the moon and the star, and 11 stars would bow down to your star. And they didn't like to hear that. It's funny how jealousy can enter in. We need to be careful of that. I think of how when David killed Goliath, and the ladies, they sang, well, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And they were rejoicing, but not Saul. When Saul heard that, he became angry. You know, he could have said, well, praise the Lord, I'm sure glad I got somebody that knows how to get rid of my enemies. But he had the wrong attitude. You know, David was a tremendous man of God. Maybe we could just briefly, in 1 Samuel chapter 24, it tells about 1 Samuel chapter 24. And Saul became an enemy of David, and he wanted to kill him. And verse 1 in chapter 24 of 1 Samuel, it says, it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, "Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet. And David and his men, they were already in there. It says, David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, "Behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, 'Behold, I will deliver thine enemies into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee.'" Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privately. And I like this next verse. It says, "And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt." He cut off the piece of the skirt of a man who was the Lord's anointed. And he says his heart smote him. You know, it's good to have a tender heart. And David had that tender heart. And when he had done that, he felt bad. And then says, so David, verse 7, "So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. And David also arose afterward and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, 'My lord, the king.' And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. And David said to Saul, 'Wherefore hearest thou men's words, saying, Behold, David seeketh any hurt?'" And so, in verse 17, and it says, and Saul said to David, "Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil. And thou hast showed this day how that thou hast dealt well with me. Forasmuch when the Lord hath delivered me into thine hand, thou killest me not. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good, for that thou hast done unto me this day. And now behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thine hand." You know, saints, if we have that same spirit that David had, the kingdom will be ours too. We want to have that love, that compassion, that kindness. In chapter 26, practically the same thing happened. Saul, chapter 26, and verse 3, "And Saul pitched in the hill of Hachilah, which is before Jeshimon by the way. But David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness." Saul couldn't get over his hatred, his anger, even though David spared him once. Verse 4, "And David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul was come in very deed. And David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched, and David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the captain of his host. And Saul lay in the trench, and the people pitched around about him. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, and to Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother to Joab, saying, 'Who will go down with me to Saul, to the camp?' And Abishai said, 'I will go down with thee.' So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. But Abner and the people lay around about him. Then said Abishai to David, 'God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with a spear, even to the earth at once. I will not do it twice.' David said to Abishai, 'Destroy him not.'" You know, We don't want the spirit of Abishai. We want David's spirit. David said, moreover, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster. You know, you wonder how he didn't wake him up doing that. He says, and they got them away, and no man saw it nor knew it, neither awaked, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. You know, God was right there. He knew just what needed to happen. And so then David went over to the other side and stood on the top of a hill far off, and great space between them. And David cried to the people and said to Abner, the son of Ner, saying, answerest thou not, Abner? Then Abner answered and said, who art thou that criest to the king? And David said to Abner, art not thou a valiant man? And who is like to thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept thy lord the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king, thy lord. This thing is not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, you are worthy to die, because you have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed. And now see where the king's spear is and the cruse of water that was at his bolster. Saul knew David's voice and said, is this thy voice, my son, David? And David said, it is my voice, my lord, O king. And he said, wherefore doth my lord thus pursue after his servant? Why, Saul, are you pursuing after me? For what have I done, or what evil is in thine hand? Now therefore I pray thee, let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If the Lord has stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord. For they have driven me out this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, go serve other gods. Now therefore let not my blood fall on the earth before the face of the Lord. For the king of Israel is come out to seek a flea, as when one doth hunt a partridge in the mountains. Isn't that something? He said, you're just seeking after a little flea or a partridge. Then said Saul, I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. And David answered and said, behold the king's spear, let one of the young men come over and fetch it. The Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness. For the Lord delivered thee into my hand today, but I would not stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. And behold, as thy life was much set by this day in mine eyes, so let my life be much set by in the eyes of the Lord, and let him deliver me out of all tribulation. Then Saul said to David, blessed be thou, my son David. Thou shalt both do great things, and also shalt still prevail. So David went on his way, and Saul returned to his place. And then it says in the next chapter, and it was told Saul that David was fled to Gath, and he sought no more for him. May God help us, you and I, that we will walk in humble humility before him, that we will have that same spirit of forgiveness. Oh, praise God. You know, it's a wonderful thing to live amongst a people where there's that spirit of love, where you do not hold a grudge against anybody. You're just willing to forgive them. It's in your heart. Whether they ask you for forgiveness or not, that doesn't matter. But you want to have that spirit of forgiveness. That's the spirit of Christ. Praise his wonderful name. And I just pray that our lives will be enveloped with the spirit of the Lord. That we will not walk according to our carnal desires, our carnal feelings, but that we will have that sweet Spirit of Christ. Praise the Lord. How should we close? You know, I was thinking this morning about that song, "A Wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see." I couldn't find it in our hymn book, but it's such a beautiful piece. And we just thank God that He has called us to hide in the cleft of the rock. He has called us to be protected by His Spirit. He's called us to be protected by the rest of the body. Praise the Lord. We have a safe hiding place. Would you stand and we'll just pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your great love for us. We cannot fathom the greatness of it. How would you forgive us of all of our sins, no matter how terrible they have been? And Lord, that you would lift us up and call us to be a part of your glorious kingdom, to be a part of the body of Christ, to walk with you and to walk with one another. Father, I pray that these things that you're teaching us will sink deeply into our hearts, that they will be indelibly imprinted upon our hearts, O Lord. Bless these dear people. Guide us all. Help us to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. O Lord, that we might seek your kingdom above all, for your kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. We pray in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. If there are those with announcements,